Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. And if that wasn't enough, Stuart Robson and Frank LaBeouf join us as well to reflect on what happened in the Champions League today. We'll kick things off at Old Trafford, Manchester United taking on Atletico Madrid. Remember this one, 1-1 after first leg in Spain, Atleti win this one by 1-0. Renan Lodi's goal just before half-time, enough to see Simeone's side through to the next round. Manchester United out. Robbo, how did this happen?
I thought, actually, Atletico Madrid, they got a lot of criticism in England about the way they played, but I thought they played their game plan really well. They defended deeply, and they played a lot of combination passes so they could then get enough time to get their wing-backs high up the field and one cross for the other, Lodi scoring with a good header. I thought their combination play in midfield was excellent. They defended well. Jimenez was brilliant at the back when balls came into the box. But you also have to criticise Manchester United. Was it the manager's choice to say to Ronaldo, go where you want, don't play at centre-forward, go wide left, go wide right, create overloads in the wide areas? Or was it Ronaldo himself deciding that he didn't want to play at centre-forward? Because in the end, Manchester United didn't have enough creativity, they didn't have enough guile. When balls came in the box, they didn't have anybody to head it in, which Ronaldo should be doing, because Jimenez and Savic and the likes were too good for them. In the end, I thought Atletico Madrid played well, Manchester United not good enough.
What I thought was telling, Frank, was the last 10-15 minutes of this game, where he expected Manchester United to really rally and throw the kitchen sink at Atletico Madrid and the Old Trafford crowd to roar them on. That never materialised. It was still, everything was so slow.
Yeah, it was, and it was the image of the second half. And I think Manchester United for an hour play with only one thing in mind, getting frustrated and showing that up to the referee. Even the fans got frustrated, complaining, and the biggest figure of that was Bruno Fernandes, who played for an hour, only complaining about the referee's decision. They had some chances at the beginning of the game, but it's true, at the end, we saw almost nothing. But maybe because, and all credit to Atleti player, the organization, the stamina and the fact that they were very compact gave no chances whatsoever to the Mancunians. So it's only a fair result for me. Manchester could have found something, an open door at the beginning of the game, but after, for like more than an hour, I saw one big team very well organized and another one trying to find something. Well, it was impossible to find because, as Stuart said, there was nobody inside the 16-yard box trying to get the crosses or something else.
If this was the scoreline this time last year, I don't think it would be as big a deal, a bigger negative for Manchester United, because we know what Atleti can provide. But they've been so poor this season, so porous at the back.
Yes, they have.
You look at it, Manchester United have only scored one goal over two legs against Atletico Madrid that have been leaking goals for fun in La Liga.
And in every way possible, including set pieces, Atletico Madrid, so far this season in La Liga, has been a team that is trying to search who they are and what their identity is. Today, they seem closer to what we have seen in the past, that in tough games they're able to defend. But I can't help but think this is a lot of Atletico Madrid, but a lot of Manchester United as well. Because, in talking about what you were just mentioning, how slow Manchester United were in moments in which you needed more urgency, in which you needed, okay, guess what? This is not working, let's try something else. This is not working, let's find another solution. But it was almost as if Well, if Ronaldo's going to float around and Bruno Fernandes is going to float around, there's a whole lot of floating around, but there's no purpose to the attack. So when you consider the chances that Manchester United had today, it was early on by Elanga, the one that Jan Oblak makes a save with a forehead. And then there is the late one in the header by Varane. There was a half chance there by Jadon Sancho on the volley, and that's it. And when I say that's it, I mean that's it. For all the possession, for all the yelling and screaming and whining and complaining and posturing, hands up in the air, there wasn't anything else. And you're talking Atletico Madrid, and you mentioned how bad they have been defensively in La Liga. And so there were moments at the beginning of the game where Atletico Madrid were trying to search exactly the way that they wanted to play this game. And they were absorbing some pressure, and they decided to go with long balls over the top. And around the 30th minute, there is a camera shot that goes to Simeone, isolates on Simeone, and he's asking, he's pleading his team, vamos a jugar, let's play, right. Let's play. And why that is important is because Atletico Madrid felt like, initially, like, you know what, maybe Manchester United is all over us, we can't really play through them, we're just going to play over the top, and maybe something happens. But they realized, and Simeone realized as well, guess what? If we put the ball down, we can play through these guys. And so then you get Koke involved, and then you get Marco Llorente involved, and then you get Griezmann running off of the shoulder, and Joao Felix gets involved as well. And that's when Atletico Madrid became really dangerous, because once they forced a turnover, they were able to play through the middle and then find the outlet. That's when they get the goal gets called off from Joao Felix, and it was barely offside by Marco Llorente. And that's when eventually they find a goal. It was a similar sequence of play. And in that sequence of play that ended up being the goal for Manchester United, you have to pay attention at the lack of tracking back by Elanga, by Jadon Sancho, by Fred as well. You have players in positions in which they can make a play, but there's no work getting back. There's commitment from Atletico Madrid. They knew that this was an opportunity. They took advantage of the opportunity, and that's all they needed. 1-0. See you guys later.
What was United's game plan today, Robbo?
I think it was, and I'm going to give the manager credit and say that he told Ronaldo to, he's got a credit, but he told Ronaldo to go into areas and they get other people running beyond them. They played almost a 4-1-4-1. They got Fred higher up the field. They wanted Fernandes to make runs through the centre-forward position. They wanted Ronaldo to create 2v1s in the wide areas and get maybe crosses into the box, get other players running into the box. And they tried at the beginning to play at a high tempo. The chance that Elanga had was through high-tempo football. Two or three forward passes, forward runs. But once they could break through, the substitutes didn't help either. I'm not sure what he was trying to do with the substitutions. It made them disorganised. They had no shape to their side. They had no patterns of play. That didn't help at all. So Manchester United, while they played well for the first 30 minutes, overall, just again, weren't good enough.
Frank, you mentioned his name, and it's kind of a microcosm what's going on at United at the moment. You look at Bruno, who seemed more interested in fighting with the officials than actually going out and talking with his feet on the pitch today.
Yeah, that was sad because we all know how fantastic player he can be. Well, he just come back from COVID, so I guess physically wise, maybe he wasn't at his best. But it's true. When you start complaining with that, you create something where you push your fans with you, but you make too many movements, and you upset the referee, and at the same time you encourage the opponent to keep on going because their frustration is the worst for a football player because you lose your mind, you're not clear on all the ideas you want to have to create an action. And when you're a creator like Bruno Fernandes, when you see that as an Atletico Madrid player, you say, okay, we have the right person for the right job right now. He's going to be frustrated. He's not going to create. He's not going to help the others. So we're fine. We have our objective and we have to keep on going, doing that. And that's what happened with Bruno Fernandes, but with others as well. We saw Ronaldo a little bit as well. We saw Maguire as well. That's something that we see too many times with Manchester United as soon as they don't have, what they think they deserve.
Robbo, that's 5 years now it will be without a trophy for Manchester United. Sacking Ollie, bringing Rangnick hasn't worked at all, has it? He hasn't made the impact that certainly they were hoping for. If you're the new coach going in, how difficult is it to work with this group?
It is going to be difficult. For what we've heard, they're not a group of players that particularly get on. They've got lots of excuses all over the place. We're talking about excuses today with the referee. excuses about the coaching not being quite good enough. Whoever goes in there is going to have a very, very tough job. And remember, he's got to work under Ranić. So Ranić will be trying to implement his ideas or putting across his ideas to the coach. It will be somebody that he actually gets to be in place. I think it's going to be a really tough job for him. The players are OK, but they're nothing better than OK. They are where they should be in the Premier League at the moment. They are where they should be in the Champions League. Out. So it's going to be a tough, tough job forever takes over.
I can hear them now, Ali. Mm-hmm. Oh, when PSG got knocked out, you were there having a go at Messi. Why aren't you having a go at Ronaldo?
We are having a go at Ronaldo, are we not? Again, he spent a lot of the game floating around. When you see him score a hat-trick, as he did on the weekend, is because he's inside the 18-yard box. When he takes himself out of that position to go and combine in other areas, there's nobody else from Manchester United that takes that central position, that is willing to take that responsibility on, or that is good enough to take that responsibility on. And so while he may have been active, while he may have been getting on the ball, was he effective? Was he efficient? And the answer is no, he was not. Now, that's also a byproduct of the fact that Manchester United, they don't create opportunities. They don't create chances. And so I'm guessing that Ronaldo is saying, well, I got to get on this ball. I got to go create something. But fine. You're creating for whom? Who is it that you're going to create for other than yourself?
Juan Mata.
Well, that's it. You know, when Stu was talking about the substitutions, I'm thinking to myself, of all the players that I thought I was going to see today coming off the bench of Manchester United when they need a goal, Juan Mata was nowhere near the expectation. And I just think it really paints a picture as to what sort of the lack of direction from Manchester United is.
Yeah.
It felt like the substitution pattern was like, give me that guy. Give me that guy. Yeah, sure, Juan Mata. Come on down. You'll get a chance. I don't sense that there is much of a plan going on. I don't sense that there is much identity going on. You don't really sense that, okay, we are going to put these players on the field because they're going to do this. They're going to execute this. That there is a clear objective as to what they want to do. I don't understand, and I think it says a lot about Paul Pogba, that in a deciding game, he's sitting on the bench. He says a lot about Paul Pogba and what he means to Manchester United or what he doesn't mean to Manchester United. There's just so many questions about this club that when we talk about Manchester United and we think, well, they just beat Spurs and now they're going to build momentum, and you kind of go, no. The true story of Manchester United is what we saw today, not what we saw on the weekend.
This is a Manchester United side, let's not forget, who spent over $1 billion on transfers over the last few years. And Robbo mentioned it, Frank. You take a look at that team. Who is getting into a Liverpool side? Who's getting into Manchester City out of those 11? None. None of these players are good enough. And it's striking to the core how many bad decisions have been made by Manchester United over the years.
The thing in football, Dan, you have to understand that individuals are important, but it's the collective which makes the difference for me, and that's the thing that you have to find when you have a group of players who I think is talented but doesn't work together, don't understand each other, and maybe don't want to work together. So that's the comparison with Liverpool and Manchester City, because you were mentioning them. They want to work, those two teams want to work together. The players seem to be happy to work together, and some of them to sacrifice for the others, which is not the case for Manchester United. You cannot say that when you see the names of the Manchester United squad, you don't have talent. That would be not knowing football. But you have to find the recipe to make sure they can work together. Or maybe get rid of some people, and I'm not inside the dressing room, to get rid of some of them to make sure the other will work well. And that's the thing you have to find to make sure Manchester United goes back to their prime.
Do you think the players think they're better than they actually are, Robbo?
I think to a certain degree. The question I'd also say, if Tuchel took over at Manchester United, or if Jurgen Klopp took over at Manchester United, or Pep Guardiola took over at Manchester United, would they be a better team? Yes, they would, because they'd get more out of the players. They'd be, as Frank said, they'd be more cohesive. They'd have a game plan. Over the last 4 or 5 years, Manchester United haven't had a proper game plan. They've brought in new managers. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was a lovely guy and managed quite well, but wasn't a coach. And Ranić doesn't seem to have the sort of backing of the players, I wouldn't say. And that makes it difficult for a manager. And the, going back to Ali's point, when we're talking about Ronaldo, was it Ronaldo's decision to go where he wanted to, or was it the manager's decision? That's a big question that needs to be answered.
If I was to spin one positive for Manchester United, Robbo, could I say now they can focus on finishing top four?
Hey!
you are spinning it now. You've always been a politician, Dan. Not a very good one, but you've always been a politician.
Well, what sort of answer is that? There we go, I'm even a question.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they've got to play for now. But is that going to make them any better? I'm not sure it is.
Can Atletico Madrid win this?
Champions League?
That 7 teams and then will be left, won't they, in the draw?
No, I don't think so. They have too many limitations, and part of those limitations come in defensively. So when you get a team that can actually play through lines, that you get movement ahead of the ball, that you get rotation of players in and out of spaces, and players filling in gaps offensively, and they do that with dynamic movement and dynamic movement of the ball as well, they get broken down. It has happened throughout the course of the season. No reason to believe that now all of a sudden Atletico Madrid is back to, you know what we're going to do? We're going to defend. We're going to hang on. We're going to counterattack. We're going to create chances in the counter. We're going to win 1-0. That's not what they have been. The reality of Atletico Madrid is a team that they have vulnerabilities, and they will show eventually in Champions League.
So there'll be two Madrid-based sides who will be in the quarterfinal draw. For Real Madrid, their priority is, of course, El Clasico this weekend, and it is live here on ESPN Plus with coverage starting at 3 p.m. Eastern. What a game it should be at the Santiago Bernabeu, of course, one of 10 that's available here on ESPN Plus this weekend. Well, just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, check out YouTube. Certainly worth it, isn't it, for a bit of extra time. The boys stay late to answer your tweets. Frank with us today as well to answer some of your questions.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Darwin Nunez's goal was enough to give Benfica a 1-0 victory in Holland against Ajax. 3-2 on aggregate sees the Portuguese side advance. Their only shot on goal ended up in the back of the net. And Jules, how Ajax will be ruining those missed chances in the first leg?
Of course they will. Incredible smash and grab from Benfica. Not just tonight in Holland, but also over the two legs, because Ajax only back in Portugal were the better team, somehow drew 2-2, but were far better in terms of chances created, shots on goals, expected goals, everything you want. Tonight was a bit more difficult. They took a lot of time to get going, didn't really create big chances, really. Vlasho Dimos in goal for Benfica didn't have that many difficult saves to make. I think their expected goal is only 1.1 or something like that. And in the end, they got caught on set piece. And great header, big mistake by Onana in goal, which then makes you think, was it the right call to bring him back for this game, of course, tonight, considering he's never played at all season. And I think you're right. They will rue their chances. They will rue the poor performance they had tonight. Ten Hag and his players, who looked so good through the group stages and even in the first leg, could not break the deadlock, could not find the answer to what was a very aggressive and solid defensively Benfica team.
Having said that, every team's going to want them, aren't they, Jules, in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, and rightly so, of course, because they're certainly not as good and as at that kind of level than a Liverpool or City or Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. Of course, they can defend well, and they can score goals, but they've been lucky when the three goals they scored against Ajax, for example, with one on goal and then set pieces, basically. This is it. This is what they do. So, of course, everybody will want them. For Ajax, it's hugely disappointing, and it's probably, you can expect a big exodus in the summer with Ten Hag, obviously, the first one. But then what happened to Gravenberch and to Anthony and to Martinez, to Alvarez, all those very, very talented players? Are they going to stick around or probably go to bigger clubs? This is a big question for Benfica. You hope for a good draw. I'm not really sure what a good draw is now, considering the teams that are left. And then you try to ride your luck even more in the next round.
Julien, thank you very much. For Ajax then, they'll be focusing on winning the Eredivisie now. Of course, you can see that live on ESPN+. Their match on Sunday is against Feyenoord at 9:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The 0-0 draw between Manchester City and Crystal Palace has blown it up, hasn't it, with regards to this Premier League title race. Liverpool in action against Arsenal on Wednesday. A win for Jurgen Klopp's side will see them close the gap on City to just 1 point. According to the bookies, they are favourites 11-10 on Arsenal at 5-2. Draw coming in at 3-1. Robbo and Jules are with us. Hey, it's exciting, Robbo.
It certainly is. Exciting for both clubs. I mean, Premier League race is great as well. You know, that draw against Crystal Palace from Man City has opened it up for Liverpool. They've got so much to play for at Arsenal. If they can win that, and they play Man City at the Etihad as well, if they can win their next 10 games, the last 10 games, they win the title. So it's a massive game they're playing against Arsenal this week.
Does what happened at Selhurst Park yesterday change anything for their mentality going into this, Robbo?
Yes, I think it does. I think they will know that they, you know, they're desperate to win the game. Before, maybe they thought that Man City were out of sight and they were focusing on maybe other things, and the win wasn't quite as important. They want to win this game. They know they've got a great chance now of winning the Premier League. And I think that Jurgen Klopp will get his best side out. They'll play at a high tempo, but they're going to have to play well to beat Arsenal, who at the moment are looking a totally different side to what we saw at the start of the season. They're a side in form. It will be difficult for them.
Yeah, we'll talk about Arsenal in a moment. I'm intrigued by the mentality of Liverpool going into this, because they knew if they win every game, then they'll pretty much be title winners. Right. That's changed slightly now, obviously, with the dynamic of what happened at Selhurst Park. Does it change their mentality in the fact that they will look at this as a massive opportunity and put more pressure on themselves?
If they were sitting back watching the game against Crystal Palace and then you see 0-0, all of a sudden, you sit up if you're a Liverpool
right.
player. You're like, aha, wait. We thought we needed to be perfect, but that's still the mentality.
Right.
That's still the plan. And now it's a guarantee. We're perfect. From here on out, we're going to win the title. And Manchester City cannot do anything about it. That is the part that I think if you're a Liverpool player, you now revel in that. You now are rallying around that idea and saying, it's about us. We control it. It's our title if we go and get it. And so we cannot afford to do what Manchester City just did and lose points to Crystal Palace, or lose points in this case against Arsenal. So I do think that for the players, it's just a notice to sit up, take notice and say, whatever message Jurgen Klopp has been putting out in the locker room and saying, we're perfect, we're gonna win this, now it's for real. We're perfect. We're really going to win this. I think Liverpool are in a great, great place right now.
You agree, Robert? You embrace this kind of challenge as a player?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ali's got it absolutely right. You know, they'd have been sitting back in previous games and think, well, Man City are going to win the title. They're not going to lose and drop points. You know, we just keep plugging away and hope for the best. Now they look at it and think, well, we beat Arsenal. Then we go to the Etihad later on in the season and get a result there. We've got every chance of winning the Premier League. They're going to up their game by 5-10% if that's possible.
Now, speaking of up your game, Jules, obviously we know Arsenal are a good run going into this clash. But even during this good run, the one criticism that's been thrown at them is that when they come up against a proper side, they can't compete. Has that changed?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, on Wednesday. Remember the League Cup semi-final second leg at the Emirates after they drew 0-0 with 10 men against 11 for most of the game in Liverpool, and they thought, OK, maybe this is the time, and Liverpool were too good for them that night. So it'd be very interesting to see if Arteta keeps the same approach that we've seen in the last few weeks, which have worked really well, and they're really informed, as you said. They're certainly on the up. Everything is clicking well. They defend well. They attack well. Whether it's through verticality and quick transition, or keeping the ball a bit more and moving it around, and they move the ball really well, or it's a bit more a cautious approach, and because it's Liverpool and it's Mo Salah and Sadio Mane and Diogo Jota or Luis Diaz and their strong midfield, it would be very interesting to see. But certainly I think what has changed certainly is these Arsenal players now really believe they can have a go at Liverpool and go and attack them, and they can actually win this game and beat them, which I don't think was the case maybe even in that League Cup semi-final second leg. So that certainly has changed. The mindset has changed. The momentum, the confidence have changed as well, which makes for a very interesting game.
How should Arsenal approach this, Robbo?
The way they've been approaching most games recently. Because what they're doing at the moment is they're choosing the right times when to press the ball and the right times when to drop off and be compact. And they're going to have bad spells in the game, and they've got to make the right decisions when they're having those bad spells in games. And that's what's made them so much better recently. Because in previous seasons, and maybe earlier on in the season, when they were having the bad spells, they were too easy to play against. They're not an easy side to play against. The question marks they've got is, how do they cope if Salah and Mane do play? There's a question mark over Salah. What do they ask their fullbacks to do? Go and exploit the fact that they don't go back and Tierney get forward down one side, Cedric down the other side. Or do they stay compact and keep a back four and rely on the speed of the wide players, whether it be Martinelli on one side, Saka on the other side, to go and expose the fullbacks like Trent Alexander-Arnold? It's going to be a fascinating game, a good tactical game, but whoever wins the midfield, I think, will win the game.
He says that on FIFA all the time. Uh-huh. All the time he says that on FIFA.
To you.
Yeah.
I was actually promoting myself on that occasion.
Right, let's get some predictions then, Robbo.
I'm going to go for an Arsenal win by 2-1.
Wow. And you hate Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Jules.
I go 1-1.
And you love Arsenal.
Well, I guess I'm the only one who believes that Liverpool players actually are going to sit up and take notice and know that if they go perfect, they win this whole thing. I'm going to say Liverpool win it.
On Wednesday, of course, we see Chelsea in action as well. They're taking on Lyon, the second leg of their Champions League tie. And then this weekend, they're taking on Middlesbrough. Now, ahead of that game earlier, they released this statement. It's important for the competition that the match against Middlesbrough goes ahead. However, it is with extreme reluctance that we are asking the FA board to direct that the game be played behind closed doors for matters of sporting integrity.
Huh?
This statement blew up, basically, and they quickly withdrew it, realising the PR own goal that they had scored. You just feel, Jules, read the room.
Yeah, read the room, read the situation, be humble, whatever you want to call it. This was a crazy moment. I think you're right. As soon as they sent or released the statement, they realized what a huge mistake it was. I mean, come on, let's not insult everybody here. And we all know Chelsea are going through tough times, and those sanctions are hard, and I think they're heavy, and they wanted their fans to be able to go away to Middlesbrough and support them in the FA Cup, although they knew that this was very unlikely. They asked the government, waited for their answer. Once the government said, hang on, you're on the sanction. The sanction said you cannot have away fans at games. This is it. It's not going to change. For them to then adopt that position and almost beg for the game to be played behind closed doors was just ridiculous. And obviously not agreed and not accepted by the FA, by the government, by anybody involved. I think Middlesbrough were really really right to respond the way they did, and the amazement and the, I think the response was completely fair. For Chelsea, the only thing, and I know it's difficult because it's a tough time for the club, but they just need to get along with things and go along with whatever has been decided by the government in terms of the sanctions, in terms of travelling, in terms of their own fans at home and away, in terms of their shirt, whatever is putting through on their path, they have to deal with it. I know it's easier said than done, but this is it. They can't try to and go and do things like this more often because they're going to ridicule themselves even more.
Jules, as we're talking about Chelsea, where do we stand on the sale?
Well, I believe all the offers are now arriving on the table via the Rain Group, of course, in the US, and also on the table of the governments who are assessing all the contenders. Some, I think there's a lot of background check happening at the moment with all those offers and all the contenders, really, where they come from, where is the money coming from, who are their relationship with, who are they in business with, all that kind of stuff, because I think, obviously, it's pretty obvious that whoever is the next owner at that club, you cannot take any risk. There can't be any mistakes made on whoever who's going to take over now. So I think right now, and this is taking a lot of time on all those checks about who's potentially taking over, who's making the offers. Again, where is the money coming from? What kind of consortium it is? The relationship between all the parties, all of that is being checked at the moment. And I think once all of that is done, they will be able to almost pick who they think will be the best owner going forward for Chelsea Football Club.
Thank you very much, Jules. Just a reminder then, the FA Cup this weekend here on ESPN Plus, including Middlesbrough against Chelsea. That's the game on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Palace, Everton, Saints, City and Nottingham Forest take on Liverpool. All these games available here on Plus. And be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That's available now with the new one dropping on Thursday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In El Clasico this weekend, live and exclusive on ESPN Plus, Real Madrid against Barcelona. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. And to get you in the mood, be sure to check out quite a few articles over on the website, including Graham Hunter talking about the change that Xavi has made to Barcelona since taking over from Ronald Koeman. You've also got Mainz against Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund looking to close the gap on Bayern Munich at the top of the table. That game live on ESPN Plus at 1:30 Eastern. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Should be a good day.
Okay. How are Borussia Dortmund going to close the gap again?
Close the gap on Bayern at the top of the table. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time is next. Robbo is back with us, as is Frank Lampard, of course, Ali as well. Frank LaBeouf. Stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali Moreno with me here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf joins us as well. Stuart Robson's here, and I have to start. Yeah. I have to apologise.
Really?
To Stuart Robson.
Why is that?
I'm sorry, Robbo.
What do you do?
Oh, dear.
Basically, I have called him every name under the sun, told him to shut up. Uh-huh. I've been playing a lot of FIFA.
Yeah.
Always against me. Always coming out with nonsense. Yes. Never a penalty, bad play from me. But shut up, Robbo, I say quite a lot.
Yeah.
With the sprinklings of other words that...
Some fruity choices.
Yes, yeah, exactly, that Disney won't approve of. So I apologise, Stuart, for that. Just, it's unnecessary.
Well, I apologise for upsetting your mornings that you're playing this FIFA 2022.
Well, I don't know why you just... It's never a penalty in your eyes. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Well, so hold on a second. He is negative when he's commentating on the game?
Yes. Negative towards me.
Towards you.
I feel it's personal.
Oh, okay. Right.
It is definitely personal towards you.
That's it. Okay. As a big Messi fan, do I dare mock Ronaldo for the Champions League exit? Honestly, I'd feel like a hypocrite considering Messi crashed out last week despite playing on a super team. Curious for your thoughts, Robbo.
Well, Messi, I'm not quite sure what the question is then. Ronaldo, should he be mocked? I didn't think he played particularly well tonight. I don't think he put himself into the danger areas, so he didn't play his part. I thought he could have been a problem for Atletico Madrid tonight, but didn't play well enough. And Messi didn't play well enough in the game against Real Madrid. So both players, I think, are we know they're past their best, and probably both didn't deserve to go through.
But Frank, why the instinct to mock? Yeah. Why do we have to mock anyone in this world?
Well, are we talking about you then?
I don't know. No. I don't know, because it's you first, Dan Thomas, you know, and you like mocking everybody. So
I don't mock
starting
anyone!
From me.
How dare you!
Yeah, of course, yeah. Now, you know what? It's funny, because I read something about Gary Neville saying that the time has changed, you know, and for Ronaldo and Messi as well. But that's what it is. I think we have to stop focusing on those players, you know, especially. And we don't have to compare them anymore. I think, of course, they have been fantastic and they're still fantastic players, but the era has changed. And now we are waiting for Haaland next season. We want to see Mbappe more and some new players going to come out. And we're going to forget a little bit about those two fantastic players and we'll recognize their talent, but won't see them at the two best player, you know, right now in the football world.
You know, as a Messi fan, it's not a prerequisite to mock Ronaldo.
But that's the weird thing. And right? It's so strange in that these camps just seem to not only want to see their player succeed,
right,
but another player fail. It's like after Ronaldo scored the hat-trick at the weekend.
Yeah.
Instead of celebrating Ronaldo's hat-trick, right, they're mocking the fact that Messi hasn't done that for PSG.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm sure, I haven't looked, but I'm sure Messi fans are now going, oh, where's your Ronaldo now? It's like, what's going on?
Right, so you can be a Ronaldo fan without feeling the need to mock Messi, and you can be a Messi fan without feeling the need to mock Ronaldo. Here's what I'll tell both of those camps. Don't worry about it, because it's coming to an end fairly soon. And so...
Shall I bring out the next question?
Sure, go ahead.
Ali, does the elimination of Ronaldo and Messi in round of 16 show the end is near for them?
Oh, well, yes. Yes, it does. And it's been coming. And we have seen signs, and now these signs are right there in front of us. And maybe some of these people just don't want to deal with the reality, but the time is coming. We can't stop it. And you know who else can't stop it? Messi can't stop it. Ronaldo can't stop it. Eventually, it's coming to an end, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. So might as well just enjoy it, because that window's closing. That door is closing. It's shutting down, and once it shuts down, it doesn't open back up.
Take a leaf out of my book. Stop mocking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You live that every day, Dan.
No mocking.
Every day.
No mocking whatsoever. No. Robbo's got his second button undone today.
Oh, so that's it. I'll tell you what. Look at that.
Only because I've lost it.
Or maybe more buttons. I don't know.
Ooh.
We can only see down that far.
It's only the two. It's only the two.
Frank, Paul Pogba is considered a leader of the French national team, but in United, he's maligned for his attitude. Why is it so different?
There was a, just before the game, there was a kind of a documentary about him and Griezmann getting along together, very much being friends and not being fantastic with their club team, but kind of refresh as soon as they joined the national team. I don't know why Paul cannot be the leader he is with the national team and also more, as effective as he is with the national team with Manchester United. Only him can answer that. He's somebody who needs the trust of everybody around him to make sure that he can deliver. I think it's what he had when he was playing for Juventus. I think it's He never found that since he rejoined Manchester United.
How does it feel to be a fan of a club who aims to defend the entire game and get away with a 1-0 victory for over a decade? Personally, I'd lose playing like City than win playing like Atletico.
Okay, well.
So you can see from a neutral's point of view, yeah?
Yeah.
None of us are choosing to watch Atleti on a weekly basis if we've got other options because of the way they play. But if you're a fan, you don't care. You don't care. You've been in Real Madrid's shadow for all this time and you're winning trophies now and going to Champions League finals. You don't care how you get there, do you?
No, but just first of all, just caveat to the point that is being made in this question. If you have seen Atletico Madrid play this season, they've actually been very entertaining because they can't defend. It's back and forth, back and forth. Games are finishing 4-2. That's what they have been. I'm not making this up. You just look at the numbers and it'll tell you that Atletico Madrid this season hasn't been able to defend. Now, in terms of winning, playing this way, or choosing to lose, playing in a magical way, well, you can keep your magic all you want. I'll take the wins, thank you very much, and I'll continue to advance. But when you're at that level...
You don't want to watch them, Ali.
Okay, did you not hear the part that they have been entertaining this season?
No, I don't, but they're still...
No, but look, the truth is, yeah, you may not want to watch them, but he said, personally, I'd lose playing like City than win playing like Atletico. Well, enjoy watching the rest of the competition from the couch. Because if you like losing, then so be it. This is the way that Atletico wins. This is the way that it works for them. And guess what? If they're going to continue to advance in this competition, they're going to have to continue to play this way.
Calvert-Lewin Smith, by the way, after that's what Stevie called Calvert-Lewin at the weekend. Frank, where do you rank Karim Benzema among the all-time greatest French players?
Wow, you have to specify, you know, the kind of player you are facing, and also the fact that you cannot compare Michel Platini, for example, with Karim Benzema because they don't play in the same position. And I will do the same with Marcel Desailly, which is for me incomparable. But Benzema is clearly for me, if he's not, well, one of the best strikers with the French national team. Different than Thierry Henry or David, especially David Trezeguet, but definitely one of the best striker in the world. And for the French, as a French man, I think he's one of the best French striker in the I ever seen. Definitely. And for and you know the consistency. We always talk about the consistency of a player, and that's what it is. He plays for Real Madrid. We know that we had famous players like Raymond Kopa before, but Zinedine Zidane, of course. And now we have Karim Benzema. He's a captain of one of the biggest teams in the world, and he's been there for more than a decade, and he's showing us his talent. It would have been even average. It would have gone out. He's simply the best striker in the world right now, I would say.
Frank, we're just talking France. Who's held in a higher regard, Henry or Benzema?
Oof, that I don't know. Because for me, Thierry Henry never been a striker. He's been a guy from the left side coming in and you know, curving his ball, the ball, you know, to the top corner on the other side. That's a different ball game for me between Benzema and Thierry Henry, different football. For me, the top French player ever is Michel Platini, and he will never be replaced because it's my generation. But for the new generation, definitely Benzema gets the first spot.
Wow. Robbo, did you watch Rangnick's team previously, and how on earth did he mentor Tuchel and Klopp?
No, I didn't watch a lot of Rangnick's teams beforehand. I didn't really know that much about him, but he's meant to build clubs. He's meant to get new coaches to the very, very top. He's meant to do clubs from bottom to top and change them and bring the youth team on and all that sort of stuff. At the moment, he looks like a manager that is out of his depth, I would say, not just with the tactics, but even when he's having press interviews, when he's dealing with the players. It just doesn't look a good fit at the moment. But remember, he's going to be there, not in the manager's job, but he's going to be there as whatever his role is going to be. He's going to have a very important role at Manchester United. And I'm not sure at the moment he looks as though he's up to it.
How many caps you got there, Robbo?
Well, there's what you have to know there, Dan, is that there's you only get one cap per tournament.
Two.
So there's about five or six different names on each cap.
Oh, so what names?
There's another. There's another lot over there.
Yes, modest, humble, humble. Well, and then what are the pictures over your left shoulder, Robert?
Oh, okay. Well, you don't want to know what they are. You do not want to know what they are. I'm not sure what they are actually, but really, I haven't been shot, should I?
Looks a bit like Elvis.
You make your own mind up what they are. I think it might even be Frank and I standing next to each other, one of them.
Oh, man. Do you remember those magic eye things?
Yeah.
You had to look. I could never see them. Maybe that's what they are. Right.
It felt like you were mocking there.
No mocking.
It felt Definitely. Like you were mocking.
No mocking whatsoever. No.
Yes. He's always mocking. Ali, always mocking me. You should see the text messages I get from him every day.
Well, I also send Robbo voice messages, but he can't listen to them because he has problems with technology.
Oh, man. He has problems buttoning up his shirt, too.
Yeah, that was mocking. Okay. Final question. Robbo, who's winning the Champions League?
I'm going to go for the team that I think is still the very best, Manchester City. I think they're outstanding. Yes, they got a draw against Crystal Palace, but Man City for me.
Frank?
I've been hammered by the Chelsea fans because last time I said that either Manchester City or Liverpool is going to win. So I'm going to say Bayern Munich.
There you go. I think they've got other things to worry about at the moment. Ali?
In your honour, just for you. I do this for you.
Atletico Madrid?
No. Real Madrid.
Well, they're getting Benfica, won't they?
Yeah, of course they are. They're going to get Benfica next round.
Atletico Madrid.
Yep, absolutely.
And then 0-0 against City in the final, and then something will happen. Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screen. So, Chelsea in action tomorrow.
Hey!
But it really is all about...
Come on, Blues!
Arsenal.
Ooh. Mm.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.